Welcome to the Liars Club. This is where we take our guests, we tell them to give us the truth, give us a lie, we figure out which is which. I'm Jessica Wellington.
I'm Felicia Michaels.
And you're about to get lied to.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington. You know this gentleman. He needs no introduction. He just had his second special, right?
Third. I think I'm getting better as a comic, which you should, but then you ever notice, first one was on Comedy Central, second one was on Showtime, this one's on Netflix.
Great. Amazing. And it's awesome. It's my favorite special that's out there. And it's Bert Kreischer.
Oh, my God. How lucky are we?
I've never been so nervous on a podcast, Bert, and I hate you.
Oh, my God. That's an emotion I haven't seen from Jessica before. Awkward. Did you have a nervousness about watching other people's special before you shot your special? Like, did that weigh on you? Like
a little bit. Well, I had to watch Segura's because I wanted to make sure we didn't have any material that overlapped. And fucking thank God I did. Because we had a punchline that was almost identical, and I had to change mine. I like watching specials. Like, Bill Burr doesn't watch specials, but
it's hard for me. It's hard for me because it defeats me. You know what I mean? Because
really?
Because there's so many comedians that are so fucking masterful, and you eat at your own insecurity. And so when you watch other people's specials, like, oh fuck, I can't even get near that. You know.
I watched both of Chappelle's. I get super inspired. Like Chappelle's kicker in the pussy joke. I love that joke. But it inspires me to go, oh, you can still write really fun material. Like it doesn't have to be
political,
like it can just be fun.
Yeah.
And like, and clever and you can just get obsessed with the art form for art form's sake. I love that fucking joke he wrote. And then you watch the next one and he's getting all deep about sexual harassment and the Louis stuff. And you're like, I definitely don't do that at all in my special, ever. Yeah. I don't think I do that at all.
I think that's why I love you so much. Cause I don't like to go political
going political, but I just don't like it because look, the problem is that there's always gonna be someone that you ruin their night. Like,
right.
And that's so not what I want out of my shows. I had this really great joke that wasn't a great joke, but it was like, it was a joke I thought would really, really work. It was about black chicks. And
I've heard you talk about this.
Yeah, and I did it on a podcast, and it worked on the podcast. I did it on the road, and this black chick just looked like was leaving my show, and she goes, it was a great show, except for that joke. It's kind of fucked up. And I was like, really? And she goes, yeah, I mean, it just from my perspective, like, I know that the white guys are laughing, but I think they're laughing for a different reason. Like, just telling you. She goes, I'm still a fan, but I'm just telling you. And Ben, I was like, wow, you want to affect change? Talk to someone with a heartfelt message and be like, I'm not a fan of that joke. It bothered me. And man, I've never told it since. Because I go,
from one person.
Yeah, because I go, well, I don't think she wasn't being mean. She wasn't being spiteful. She was just sharing an opinion. And I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of, and I had reassessed it.
But do you think if you would have been, because you're a white male, if you would have been a woman saying that same joke or
anyone else?
Yeah.
It's a joke I could give to any black guy, any white woman, anyone that isn't me. But because it's me, I come from a place of privilege. I'm the oppressor. So when I say it, there is a bully instinct that some people see. And I kind of just stopped writing anything racial altogether because I was like, it was just like, you know, it's like you do a podcast and you think you know who your listeners are. I always think mine are just these big white dudes with beards. And then you get like these, like I saw these two black sisters, like legit sisters, were at one of my shows. And they were like, we're such big fans. We listen to every episode. And you're like, I never thought that would be my demographic at all. And you just can't tell who your demographic's going to be.
No. Well, even tonight when I drove up and Jess was helping outside with t-shirts and stuff, the women that come up, the middle-aged women that were asking about the t-shirts and the book. And
women
are
coming
it's interesting.
In general to comedy, which I think is amazing. You see at the Comedy Store, it used to be just dudes and maybe a date or maybe a double date. But now women are coming out on their own or with a friend. I think that's... We haven't seen that. Comedy Central, I think, is going to switch, hopefully, where it's not 70% dudes watching it.
Yeah, well, That's your dream.
I think comedy's just gotten so such a higher profile now, and people are starting to find people they like.
Yeah,
and going like, oh, it was just white dudes in the 80s and 90s, and now it's starting to really branch out, and people are like, oh, you know, I found my favorite comic. I mean, we were doing Google Trends, me and you before the show, and I was just showing like three women have much bigger profiles in comedy than any of the men doing it right
now. That's true.
And so, who are those three women?
Ali Wong, Eliza Schlesinger, and Nikki Glaser.
Oh, wow.
And they just have a much bigger profile than any of what you would consider to be their peers. Like, I would consider myself to be at least Eliza and Nikki's peer.
Right.
But they're much bigger comics than I am. Much bigger.
You think so? I don't know, Bert. Not at this point.
They're much bigger.
It's cool that everyone can play in the same arena at the same level. That's what's really exciting. Right. Yeah. Speaking from someone who's been in comedy for a long time, I've never hit the big time, but to see the women killing it right now is so fucking inspiring.
I went to Eliza's taping in San Francisco and watched it, and I cried. I did. She was telling these jokes, and I'm bawling. But it was just, it was perfect. It was like, obviously it's something I want to do. So seeing her up there and me being that close was like, oh, my God.
Well, that's the cool thing about comedy right now is that so many people are supportive of each other. That wasn't like that 20, 25 years ago. Like, people really have joy. Just to see when your special came out, how everyone was retweeting it and say, go show the love. I mean, it's pretty amazing how supportive everyone is to each other, because that's not how it normally was back in the day.
It was not. I remember when I started, it was not that way. There was all I remember is like Montreal, just a jealousy and just almost vindictiveness. Like, no one was buddies. No, but I think the industry changed so much that now people are like, oh, we got to help out if we want to succeed. I've got to do that person's podcast. I've got to be friends with that person. Now this like vindictiveness doesn't benefit me the way it used to. But yeah, I think that's, I would say I have more friends in comedy than I've ever had. Like, guys that I have nothing in common with.
We were talking about this the other day at the Comedy Store. It's like when we have the oddest group of people that get together and hang out at the store, like after work or whatever, that's when we have the most fun. Like, outside of comedy and this, we would never hang out.
No, it's totally true. You know, I wanted to say, as I came up tonight and I saw Jessica and Andrew here pop open your suitcase with all your t-shirts in it.
Oh.
Dude, that suitcase, the way it's packed with all those t-shirts, is fucking magical.
I know. That's my sister.
Is that your sister?
My sister goes in and organizes it and color coordinates them, size coordinates them.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Well, she's got it down to a key. Like, it took a little while to get there, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's why I was like, don't touch it, because it's all organized in there and it's super easy to keep track of. But inevitably, every time I do that, someone pulls out every color and they're like, hey, these are all lined up pretty good. And you're like, yeah.
I mean, it looked like a math problem. It looked like a math problem.
Yeah,
that's
right?
How cool it was. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll move right along. And so usually in our podcast, what we do is we ask our guests to tell a true story and a lie, and then we'll kind of quiz you about it. And
might slightly interrogate you.
She might slightly, and she's better at this than I am. Okay. I'll believe any lie. But and so you can choose whether to start with a lie or a true story.
Don't say which is.
Because we're going to guess.
All right, let me see.
This is coming from like one of the best storyteller.
Well, no, I want to tell a good. I want to tell a good one. I'm trying to think. Okay, I'll tell two stories that happened from Travel Channel.
Okay, these are so outlandish. This is gonna be hard. God damn it.
And I got to tell stories that I don't think you've heard.
On, because I do listen to you.
Yeah. All right. You got to pick one.
Okay.
That I'll just go. I'll give you three different stories. How I got this rash on my cheek. Do you know that story?
Well, you have adult acne.
No, I don't have adult acne.
You said
that's what they said. That's what they said I had. I don't have adult acne.
Fuck Jessica Stalker.
You said that. You said when you went to Hawaii, you were getting sun on your face. That's why you shaved.
Okay, I'm not telling that one.
This might be weird if I find out how much I know about you at this point.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Now I'm embarrassed for all of us. All right,
fuck that. I got two partying stories. So my wife is two best friends.
Your best friends are Asian.
This was yeah, you do know a lot. This was probably 10 years ago. It was right when we had Isla. No, so probably 11 years ago. Her two best friends are Scientologists. Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Your wife's two
Bob and Shannon.
Bobby Shannon.
Bob and Shannon.
Bob and
Your
Shannon.
Wife's two best friends are Scientologists.
They were friends of hers before she met me. So we go.
She's not a Scientologist, though.
No.
She's from, like, Oklahoma.
No. So, but she was in an acting class that was Scientology-based.
Okay.
The Playhouse, Actors Playhouse.
Uh-huh.
And so.
That's Scientology-based?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So one night, they invite us over to dinner at their house, and my wife lets me know that Bob has recently quit drinking, and I cannot drink at their house. And I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. So what I do is I brought cigars, and so as I'm getting cigars, I see my wife's gun. She wants to have a handgun, right? So
your wife has a handgun?
Yeah, now we all have
this
guns.
This checks out.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I take the bullets out of the gun, and I bring the gun with me to the party, knowing that if I have a gun on me, that I will then be at least interested and I won't need to drink. It'll be like my own little secret, you know? So I take the gun and I put it in my waistband and I go to the party. And the whole party, I'm giggling to myself, thinking I am packing heat and no one knows the whole time. So
how long ago was this?
This is 11 years ago.
Oh, okay.
We were in our old apartment and I had two kids. And so me and Bob go outside at his house to have a cigar, and we're having a cigar. And I had asked them at dinner about Scientology. I said, so you guys believe in aliens? And they're like, well, technically, I mean, yes, but no. And I was like, well, yeah, but
Zeno was an alien.
And then I go, wait, but you believe in aliens? He goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, yeah. He goes, do you believe that he died and then rose again and came out and like was a person? I go, no, I think it's a, like, figure of speech. He goes, do you believe that Moses actually split the seas? I go, no. I mean, it's all like stories. And he goes, so do you believe in aliens? And I go, yeah, I actually do believe there's aliens out there. And he goes, so you actually believe the thing I believe in and don't believe the thing you believe in? And I was like, holy shit. So we go outside.
Wow, he shut you down.
We go outside, and Bob has said, you know, I really appreciate you not drinking tonight. And I said, no, it's not a problem at all. And we're having a cigar. And he goes, it was really cool of you. And I said, well, I do want to show you something. And I lift up my shirt, and I show him the gun. I go, you don't want none of that. As a joke, right? And he goes, you have a fucking gun on you? And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, wow. And he puts his cigar down, and he goes in, and he tells my wife. He says, Bert has a gun. And my wife goes, Bert has my gun? And comes out and fucking yells at me in front of Bob and Shannon. And fucking...
I love it.
Story's over. We had to go.
You could have been like that guy. I just shot my fucking foot or whatever.
My wife's like, why would you bring a fucking gun? And I was like... Actually, she came out and she was like, do you have my gun? And then Bob goes, it's not even your gun? And I go, no. I go, no. And she goes, Bob said you have a gun on you. I go, Leanne, why would I have a gun on me? She's like, where is it? And I said, I don't have one. And she goes, lift up your shirt. I go, I'm not lifting up my shirt.
One time that you won't take your shirt off. Yeah.
And so she finds out, she gets fucking livid, and we leave the party. That's the story.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Because he talks about how he doesn't even know how to load the gun. I mean, I don't know how true it is because it's...
So you have
what? Now gun. I have my own gun, but I don't load it because it hurts.
So you just carry around an empty gun?
I do. Yeah.
I guy, but yeah. You shouldn't talk about it because everyone will know your gun is empty.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to use it even if someone tried to do something with me. I wouldn't. Uh-huh. I wouldn't try to shoot somebody.
So, what made you decide to buy the gun?
I was at a party and everyone was calling, like, arguing gun rights to me, and I was like, I don't own a gun, and they were like, but you look like you own one, and I was like. And so then I kind of bothered me. And then the next day I was driving out to All Things Comedy on Magnolia. and I saw a gun shop. And I was like, I got 30 minutes to kill. I wonder if I could buy a gun real quick. And I went in and I did. But I didn't get it that day. It takes 12 days.
Yeah.
So I bought two guns. I bought a Mossberg and a Glock.
You've shot, though, right? Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
On the 4th of July, I went to the range and I got to shoot a 357 mag long barrel like Clint Eastwood. And he, that like smoke, that ball of fire comes out. And
oh, yeah.
It's just, and you get to do the little spinny. I don't know how to explain it, but with sounds.
I've shot every gun there is to shoot for Travel Channel. So we shot everything.
Oh, that's right. I've heard you tell me about that.
I don't mean to brag, but I'm an excellent shot because my dad was in the military. And for when I was in my formative years, he was stationed in Berlin, Germany, and he ran like a gun range. Mm-hmm. So we kind of grew up on a gun range. And
then
growing up in Colorado, they had this thing at our school. Like, you couldn't graduate junior high unless you took NRA classes to get into high school because... Back in the day, there were a lot of accidental deaths from shooting with kids not knowing how to handle guns or people having guns laying around. The NRA used to be like kind of a good thing because they taught you how to handle guns or respect guns if you lived in a rural area, which I lived in. So, but I'm an excellent shot.
It's true. I'll never forget that 90210 episode.
Wait, can I tell you a secret? One time, I was doing a... By the way, I'm skewing this, and if he heard it, he would definitely have a different opinion. But I will tell you my side of the story. We did an episode of one of my shows, and we went skeet shooting. So I called Joe, and I go, "Hey man, why don't you come skeet shooting with us?" He was like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun." So this is right when he was getting into hunting. So we went out and did skeet shooting, and I was really good, and he was really bad, and he was really frustrated. And Joe gets so competitive, like he not like a dick competitive, but competitive in his own head.
Yeah,
that he was like, "God damn it!" Like you could hear him, like, "Come on, Joe!" Like it was so fucking funny.
He can't be the best at everything.
No, but he definitely does believe that he can work harder. Like he just works harder than anyone. I've never met anyone that has worked as hard as that guy. Like in everything.
I've heard you talk about it. I don't know how he does it, where he gets up so early. He works out, takes his dog out all the time. He comes to, he does the podcast for hours, and then he comes to the Comedy Store and stays until 12, 1 o'clock.
I don't know how he does it either. I mean, like, I told him one time, I said, I don't know what we were talking about, but I think it was on a podcast, and I was like, "Hang on. You don't believe you're exceptional?" And he was like, "No, I'm just an average person." No, and I was like, "No, bro, you're exceptional." Yeah. Like, there are very few people that can do what you do. And by the way, I think I'm fucking exceptional. Like, if I'm exceptional, you're definitely exceptional.
All right, well, that was the first good, strong story. And so you can just jump into your second story.
Okay.
But one has to be a lie.
Have you ever heard about me riding motorcycles in Vietnam?
Yeah, you were telling that stuff in Sacramento.
Okay. Did you ever hear about me?
Jesus. Jessica, get off his dick.
My first
already.
Open water dive.
Yeah, actually. Okay.
When I was 10 years old, I shit my pants worse than I've ever shit my pants in my life.
Was it at school? Was it at school or at home?
This is at tennis
that matters.
Camp. At tennis camp.
No. Oh, no, no, no.
You even heard this story? Okay. So tennis camp, I'm set to play. You practice in the mornings, and then you play a match after lunch. So I eat lunch, and at lunch I'm like, I kind of think I gotta take a shit, but I'm like, no, it's not that bad. So I go, I'm waiting for my match, and this kid that comes up looks identical to Aziz Ansari today, and kid comes up, and as he gets to the court, I'm like, no, I definitely got a shit, but I was like, you know what? I'll just play through it. I'll be fine. So we start playing, and about four games in, I realize I need to throw the match. I'm going to shit my pants. So I throw the match, and run to the men's locker room. Men's locker room is easily maybe 100 yards away from where we're playing.
And how old were you?
Not 100 yards. Probably 35 yards. Maybe 40 yards away.
This is in Florida?
In Florida. I'm 10 years old.
And this is a school? 10 years
old. No, this is at camp. This is at Carrollwood Country Club. And so I run, and as I get into the men's locker room, I start shitting. And I start, and as I go to sit down, shit is already coming out. And shit, I shit all in my pants, in my underwear. I shit on the tail of my shirt. I sit on the tail of my shirt in the shit. I look down, I have shit in my socks. And I am like, I am fucked. All I have on me that doesn't have shit on it is a tennis glove, which looks like a white Andrew Dice Clay glove. And my shoes don't have shit in them. So I get up. I have shit all over me. I have shit all over me. I get up. I take off my shirt. Now I've then draped shit up my back. I get out of my pants. I take my shoes off. I take my pants and my shirt, and I throw them away. I get naked in the shower, and I rinse off. I wash all the shit off me. I then break into a man's locker. I jiggle all the lockers. I break into one of the lockers is open. And I steal a pair of men's shorts and men's shirt. I take the shoelace out of my shoe, and I tie a belt with my shoelace.
And it's in style.
And I go out, and I finish my tennis match. I beat the kid.
No,
I beat
you
the kid.
Didn't.
I beat the kid.
You
I
went out and finished with a man.
I beat the kid.
How long did it take you in the dressing room to do all that?
Oh, a very long time.
They held the game for that long?
It's not official. It was just me versus this kid. So he was sitting out in the court, like, waiting for me. And I come back. I go to the pro shop. I tell him I need a shoelace for my shoe. I put a shoelace in my shoe. I go out. No socks, shoes, men's pants, man's shirt.
What, like a pair of men's khakis?
No. Men's tennis shorts.
Okay.
No underwear on them. And that, by the way, at the time, was really bothered me. No underwear on them. Men's shirt. Finish the tennis match. My mom picks me up from camp and sees me and very unimpressed goes, "How was your day?" I go, "Mom, I'm in men's clothes. Like, either I was sexually assaulted or I shit my pants." And she goes, "What?" I said, "Mom, I shit all over myself." She goes, "Who gave you those clothes?" I said, "I stole them." She goes, "Well, we need to give them back." I go, "I'll be fucking naked." And my mom is just like, "Well, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose."
What did you do with your old clothes that you had to
poop them all
on?
Out.
You threw them out.
They were covered in shit.
Oh, my God. I feel like, Bert, that you're singing to my heart, because when I love shit on yourself stories.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Not even kidding, because when I
could tell you 12.
Because when I was...
Now you see why we get... I mean, like, I relate.
When I was around that same age, I had to go to school. My mom was, like, in the hospital. My dad would feed us like shit. And I was at school in the library. The whole class had to go. And I had to go to the bathroom, right? And I was like, fuck. So I excuse myself, get a pass. I go to the bathroom. And, you know, just like you're saying, when you're running.
Hey, tell Jesus he's doing 20.
So, you
he's
know,
going
like
on stage right now.
When you're running. And you have to shit yourself so bad. I get into the bathroom, but the anticipation that you're about to have release, right? And it psychologically fucks me. I shit all over my chemically, like, made bell bottoms, like, shit all over it. It was, like, in Germany in 1976. Shit all over myself. Like you're saying, like, on my shoes, everything. So no one was in the bathroom. I take my clothes off. I wash them in the sink. And I put them on, but it was a synthetic material, like, from the 70s, so you couldn't tell it was wet. But it was, like, fucking wintertime. And then I had to go out. Oh, first a girl comes in, a most popular girl in the whole school, and she walks in the bathroom. She's like, "Oh, my God, it smells terrible in here." And I automatically go, "These kids here just come in and shit all over the place." And then I had to go out into a snowstorm in my wet clothes and play.
I shit my pants one time. My sister and I were going, getting on a train to D.C., and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning in New York City, and I went, we were on McDougal Street across from the Comedy Cellar, was where my apartment was, and I thought that I had a fart, and I shit my pants. Now, for some reason, I'd had a shirt over my shoulder from a radio station that he'd thrown shirts out the night before. I had it over my shoulder for some reason. And I whipped it out. I wiped my ass through my pants. Through my pants, I wiped my ass. Oh, no. I then folded it and wiped it again and threw it on the floor. And I looked at my sister, I go, let's go. And she went, that didn't just happen. I go, don't worry. When we get to the train, I'll clean myself up. She was like, and then we got drunk on the train and we went back and we went to dinner with my uncle.
Oh, so you were an adult when this happened?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I thought you were like 15 or something.
We got drunk on the train and then we go to lunch with my uncle. And at lunch, my sister goes, you're still in the same fucking pants that you shit in today. And I was like, yeah, why? She was like, oh.
Wow. Oh, my God, that's great.
Two strong stories. Do you have any questions, Jessica, about the first story?
I have some comments. So I kind of believe the second story just because the period story stuff that you're doing now, mm-hmm. you talk about, you ask if your daughter's period went, if she needs new socks. Right? And I'm like, well, probably he might have got that from real life because he actually pooped down to his socks.
The second story is true.
Is it?
Yeah, I put the gun in my pants and I couldn't stop laughing at the idea of bringing a gun to these people's house. And then I realized, oh, I don't need to bring a gun. I could just sneak booze and drink behind their backs. And so I really just drank behind their backs. Jesus. And then Bob said, hey man, I'm really appreciate that you didn't drink. And I said, oh, I've been drinking this whole fucking time. And he was like, what? And I said, yeah. I snuck booze in your house. And then he told Leanne, and Leanne was fucking livid.
Oh, really?
She was like, you couldn't go one night without drinking? And I was like,
because you drank in some Scientologist's house? Yeah,
so I was like, I just can't fucking sit here with them and talk Scientology all night. Ugh.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when I go on a date with a guy, and if he's AA, and I know this is terrible, like if we go to dinner, I'll order a fucking drink, and then I feel terrible when I drink it, but not really.
Here's the thing. I go stretches without drinking. Like uh-huh. I just went like 17 days without drinking. But it's not like I'm not doing it for any other reason than I just didn't feel like drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, and people would be like, "Whoa, is it okay if I drink around you?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I can give two shits." Like, someone else's drinking does not affect me at all.
Right.
Like, I think people could argue that I do, but I don't have a drinking problem in the sense that, like, I don't understand the people who couldn't stop. You know, like, I just go, just stop. My problem is fucking flying. If I could just get over drinking and flying.
You just think they go together. Like, for me, it was smoking and driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
do you always drink when you fly?
Yeah, and it fucks me up. Yeah. It's not good for me.
Is it because you're afraid to fly?
Yeah, I get afraid to fly. And so I have a drink. What happens is my stomach gets bad. Mm-hmm. Like, my stomach gets really nervous. And then I have a drink, and it calms me down. And then I just keep drinking on the plane. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, you know? And then I come home, and then, like, I'll land at, like, 1, and then my wife will be like, hey, you're home, we should have people over, and then I have drinks at dinner, and then I've been drinking for, like, 24 hours.
Fuck.
And those are the days that kill me. If I could just, and I really don't have control over flying, like, and I've had control over it at times.
What is your biggest fear about, because I have a big fear of flying, and my biggest fear of flying is I'm not controlling the situation, and I'm not worried about the pilots. I'm worried about those fucking mechanics. That's where I start freaking out. Right. Like, what are the mechanics doing? Did they have beers last night? On this shit? Like, that's where I start to freak out.
I was in the Air Force. We got in trouble when they accidentally flew with nukes across the U.S. They were actually live nukes, and they were supposed to be inert, and we didn't actually load them or send them to the flight line, but we still got in trouble for that. If we could do that kind of shit, imagine. And that's the Air Force.
That doesn't help Bert.
Breaking news.
Not helping Bert at all during this podcast.
Maybe I'll have a drink. Hey, grab our waiter, would you?
Jesus, let's all get him a drink.
I can't. In all honesty, for me, it's a fear of flying. But then I get up there and I just start going, like, I get really fucking antsy. And, like, I've not drank on flights, and I just get up there and I'm like, so what do these fucking people do? Like, you just sit and stare? Like, I've watched every fucking movie there is. I can't sleep. I can't fall asleep on a plane. Like, I just don't know what the fuck they do.
I tell
you, if you drink, you're killing hours.
Right. And what makes it worse is when go-go in-flight doesn't fucking work. Oh, my God. When they're like, just hook up to the Wi-Fi, and you have anxiety because you don't like to fly and you can't even watch anything, so you're just fucking sitting there.
I always pass out.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to stay awake on a flight. It's like...
Oh, my God, I wish I had that.
Well, anytime
you and black guys. Black guys can fall asleep on planes better than anybody. Like, yeah. I had a joke about it because I just witnessed it so much that black guys are never awake on planes. It's like a Stephen King novel. They're just always out.
Maybe my mom rode me in the car as a kid a lot. I don't know.
I think it also has to do with anxiety. I don't think, and this is probably irresponsible for me to even mention or suggest, but I don't think black guys get anxiety the way white guys get it.
Like, and why do you say that?
Like, I've never heard a black guy be like, oh my God, I'm having a panic attack.
It's probably like...
It doesn't seem like something brothers say.
No.
Like, brothers are just cool. Or maybe they talk... It's like I just saw some movie... It was a Kevin Hart movie, I guess. And she was like, we're going to go to couples therapy. And he's like, we're black. We don't go to therapy. And it's just, I think it's like one of those stereotypes. But it's probably accurate because I know that there's like a stigma in certain cultures if you go to therapy.
Right.
And we don't have it in white culture. Like, it's almost celebrated. You're like, oh, you're finally you're going.
Right. I don't know. Have you been to Kansas lately?
No one in my wife's family is going to therapy.
Yeah.
In my mind, I've always thought, too, well, if I'm going to die, I would rather die in my sleep. So maybe...
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, I don't know how I want to die.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
You don't know?
Not in my sleep. I want to be fighting for it.
Really?
You do? Like...
I don't know. I haven't really fucking thought about it. I can tell you ways I don't want to die. I don't want to die where I go, you know when you cut your finger and you're like, fuck. Oh, fuck, I cut my finger. God damn it. I don't want to die like that.
Well, here's the thing.
I shouldn't have made that left.
Like, my aunt one day was washing her windows on her balcony and she was sipping champagne. And she fell off the balcony and
Holy
died.
Holy shit.
No, I know. So that's my biggest fear. The last 3 seconds. That's my biggest fear. Like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? I don't want to die like that.
There was a guy. I read an article about this guy who was clipping his toenails out of the shower on his coffee table. Oh. And his coffee table glass top shattered. And it went into his artery on his leg. And he almost bled out. And
really?
He was like, are you fucking kidding me? And he was like, I can't believe this is how I'm going to die. I don't want to say, I can't believe this is how I'm going to die in my death. I want to be like, I wouldn't mind being like, fuck it, I got to rescue that child. Like, you know, like be like fearless. I just, fuck. That's why my buddy killed himself. And when he did it, I went, there's got to be some sort of solace in knowing that, I'll just kill myself.
Own terms.
Like, and know that, like, I'll give it 5 years, and in 5 years, I'll just kill myself, and then go, well, I don't, you know, whatever.
This was amazing. I didn't realize how much I really knew about you.
I know, it's kind of embarrassing.
Dude, I'm like that with a lot of people. I'm like that with Maren. When I just did Maren's podcast, and I was just rattling all the stuff off that I knew about him, and Maren's like, you could see him be like, I must talk too much about my, like, you know.
Hey, have you watched Maren on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I know it's loosely based on, like, his true events.
Yeah.
But did he relapse after 16 years and end up living in a shed?
No.
Okay.
Okay, Jessica will believe fucking anything.
He's been sober for 19 years.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured. I figured they kind of, toward the end, they started adding new storylines. But
yeah.
I wanted to make sure.
I need to order myself a beer.
Was the beer that I ambushed you on stage?
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Sorry to scare you.
That was hysterical.
And then here's what I want to get.
Better than a linger on stage.
Here's what I want to get for my daughters. You ready?
Yes.
Two pepperoni pizzas.
Two pepperoni pizzas.
Two orders of chicken tenders with fries.
We're keeping this.
Now, what do you want for your daughters now?
Yeah, you like how I hide that over and a cheeseburger.
just the tenders and the pizzas?
Tenders, pizzas, and then a cheeseburger for real. Yeah, someone will eat that, I'm sure. Yeah. I said to my daughters tonight, I said they're in a hotel by themselves, and I said, I do not want you ordering room service, so I don't want anyone knowing that you're here by yourself. Like, I just want you guys to just... And then Georgia goes, well, why don't you just bring us food home from the comedy club? And I said, will you guys still be awake? And Isla goes, oh, hell yeah, we're pulling an all-nighter. And I was like, that's not what an all-nighter is, but sure.
You have a 13 and 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I'm feeling the distance that they don't want me to be around all the time.
Yeah.
They're going to start dating, dude.
Georgia, I can see it. Like, she's longing for things, like longing for maybe to be a little older or to grow up. Like, I think she wants to have a crush. I think she just is very young. And, like, none of it makes her comfortable yet. And Isla's calling her on all of it.
Oh, really?
Isla's like, preteen. Isla's like, moody teen, dad, moody teen. And I was like, really? Oh, dad, she's a moody teen. She'll be wearing crop tops soon.
I hate to break it to you, but I lost my virginity at 14.
Yeah, you did?
Leanne lost hers at fucking 13.
There you go.
Really? Yeah,
but we don't have anything else to do.
Get Georgia out of town, is not, really.
Will not be that girl. Yeah. She will. She is just... She is... a real young child. I mean, she just found out there's no Santa.
Right. And now that you've spiraled her down that route, it's going to be beer.
It goes faster.
Well, you know what's so funny? You know what's so funny?
It goes fast, Bert. It goes fast now.
Georgia, this is the only thing that's a little alarming is Georgia, the other night was like, we're all partying. And she was like... She was alluding to the fact that she wanted to try beer. And we were like...
Oh, she probably has, but she's...
I wouldn't...
You don't think she sipped one?
I'll tell you why.
You've probably
I'll tell you why she hasn't. She has never had anything other than water in her life. Like, she has never had juice or soda or milk.
How'd you do that?
She's only had water. She just has a weird palate. And the idea of anything that tastes different would freak her out. So she just has only had water. So... But when she said she wanted beer, my wife's like, no, I'm not that kind of parent. You can't just drink in my house. And part of me was like, wait, all she's ever had water. I kind of want to see her drink something in more than water.
It's like giving her a pickle for the first time.
But Isla has had Tito's before. She took a sip one time, not realizing what it was. And that she almost threw up immediately.
Well, it's not the drinking.
It was a Coke with ashes.
In Los Angeles, it's not the drinking that I'm worried about. I say to them, if I find anything around the house, a paper, a crumb, a grinder, a bomb.
Yeah, I love that you go grinder. My parents wouldn't know what a grinder is.
I just throw it away and they get mad and they're like, why are you going to throw shit away? Because I'm like, every little thing you leave around the house, I see as a beer can.
Have you ever done that and then you were like, fuck, that was mine?
No, but I have. I did find a Swisher Sweet, and I was all like, "I'm fucking keeping that."
I had grinded up weed in my man cave, and put it in my vape. I have a vaporizer, and I left the rest of it in this thing, and it's gone.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold the fucking phones.
You know what happened.
Well, I can't imagine that. Isla's too young to smoke. And Georgia just isn't, this is going to sound silly, but just isn't that cool. Like, she's not like, she just is like really like still a kid. And then, so I'm thinking it might have been my assistant because he smokes weed. And I have so much marijuana in my house, like so much that I think he really thinks that if he takes a little, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And
I ate one of your cauliflowers.
They were pretty good, huh? First time I saw marijuana, I was in ninth grade, and then I smoked it. I smoked it in ninth grade. George is in ninth grade. But I don't know. I mean, I told them, I said to them the other day, I said, here's the deal. Pot's fine. When your brain's developed, you can totally smoke it.
That's the thing, yeah.
I was like, don't be doing it before your brain's developed. You don't want to be that kid. And then I was like, and alcohol can kill you. You can die from it. But I think they've seen me drink so much, I don't think they're interested in drinking. I don't know. I don't know. I'm also oblivious. Like,
I think it's better that you have been so open with them, though.
I mean, I'm pretty fucking honest with them.
Yeah.
Do they ever say, Daddy, don't take your shirt off?
No. Georgia watched my second special. She was like, hey, can I see your special? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I showed it to her, and I was like getting ready to flip through so she didn't see anything that was inappropriate about her mom. And the second I took my shirt off, she just went, whoa, you take your shirt off? And I go, you didn't know that? She goes, how would I know that? Really? I've never seen you do stand up. And I go, oh, yeah, baby, I take my shirt off. She goes, why would you do that? And so now they just know it. They're like, oh, they think my stand-up's ridiculous. Like, it's so funny. One time they go, I told them a joke I was telling, and I changed the ending. It was about my wife, something my wife said. I changed the ending to make Isla say it in the joke that I told them. And so they were like, and Georgia goes, so that's all you do is lie? And I go, no, baby. It's a little different than that.
She goes,
so you're a liar. You're a liar. And my wife fucking snapped. We were in London. And my wife said, honey, what dad does is paying for us to fly to London and stay in this beautiful castle. So watch your mouth. Have a little respect for your father. And she's never said it again. So then this last special, they watched this last special with all their friends. I put the parts that, like the one story that involves all of them. And they were so blown away at how true it was. And George is like, whoa, that really happened. And I go, yeah, I know. She's like, that all this really happened. And I was like, yeah, I know. She's like, I thought you just made stuff up. I go, no, baby. I go, I'll change ends of things to make it a punchline or make it neat. But yeah, it's all pretty much true. And she's like, hold on. Like,
so I'm going to need a drink.
I told them, I said, you guys should watch the period party story I'm doing on Conan. And they're like, hold on, what do you say about us? And I was like, just watch it. And they watched it. And I was like, you made fun of us. And I was like, yeah. She was like, why would you make fun of us? I go, because what did you think I was going to do? Just celebrate you? And then Georgia got really pissed off because she goes, hey, I said, Georgia got her period Sunday morning. And she goes, I got it in the middle of the night. I said, baby, it doesn't fucking matter. She goes, no, it does. Like, I got it in the middle of the night. And I go, it doesn't matter, baby. You want me to change this in the middle of the night? And she goes, well, no, I just thought that it seems like you really care about the truth these days. I go, okay. And Isla goes, I didn't get mine at school. And I was like, yeah, you did, baby. And she goes, no, I mean, yeah, but I didn't tell you about it until I got home. And I was like, no, you called us. And she went, now you're messing me up. I don't remember how I got my period. And I was like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Aww. Well, thank you for sharing so many awesome little stories about everything. Yeah. And congratulations on everything that's going on for
thank
you, Bert.
You.
It's amazing.
Thank you very much.
You're such a nice guy, unlike Tom Segura. I'm just kidding.
But it's so cool to see how everyone is so totally there for you in our community and is retweeting
really
and
cool.
Throwing support your way. And
it's been really cool. Like, it's been, I'm like, wow, this business has changed fucking globally for me.
But it's because you put out that vibe. You know that, right? Like, you're putting those vibes out and people want to see you do well.
I feel like, I really do feel like people want me to do well. Like, in our business, I think people are like, good for you. I think it's also, I think this is going to sound really silly, but people do get jealous and bitter when they feel like people don't do it the right way. Like, you know, and when you see someone leapfrog when they're young and then everyone's kind of like wants them to fail a little bit.
We were just having that conversation about someone earlier in the car, you know. But the thing is, when someone gets something early in their career, when you've been around for a long time, you see that it's not always the best thing that happens to them.
No, I think mostly people are like, no, this is right. Bert was doing stand-up 20 years and then... And then he told the machine story, and it's a great story. And then he got another special, and it's a great special. And I'm happy for him. And it's like, you part of you goes, it's almost like you know what? It's also, I think a lot of people go, he was a failure just like me two months ago. And they go, oh, so there's a chance. There's a chance for me.
What was the biggest surprise about this third special? That was there a surprise for you?
Easily, without a doubt. I did not know what I didn't have any insight on how I was doing this hour. I just wrote what was making me laugh and what was making my crowds laugh at the time. And I did not have, and all the reviews are like, it's amazing. Kreischer transcends into middle-agedness with class. And I'm like, what? I was like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
And
they're
class?
Like, a father. Like, he outgrows his party boy image into a fun father. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? I was like, I had no I just was writing jokes about what I was writing jokes about. Uh-huh. I wasn't trying to frame it a certain way, but people have been like, no, it's great. Like, you're like a middle-aged man now, and you're like, and I was like, okay. Yeah, that's the thing that's caught me off guard, because I was like,
I didn't see it that way.
I didn't see it that way either, but I think if you don't know me and all you know is the machine story, then you go, I think a lot of people were almost saying, like, he can do stand-up comedy too. All right, I'm going on stage.
Thank you very much. Guys. Thank you, Bert. Thank you.
Here's your beer.
Have a good
set, man. All right.
Well, that was Bert Kreischer. Thank you guys for listening. Please do us a big favor. If you've liked any of our podcasts, if we've ever made you laugh once, go over to iTunes. Please subscribe and leave us a review. We are hustling our asses off out here just trying to do better at podcasting. And thank you guys for taking the ride. I've been Felicia Michaels. You can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board. And please give a big shout out to our producer who came out to Oxnard tonight to record this. Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
No worries. You can follow me at 1AndrewRose all across the board. And I don't really have much going on other than that. So give me a follow. Like my random facts of the day. That's all I got.
Aww.
And you, Jessica?
Please follow me at JessWellington2. That's on everything. And I'm just really happy right now.
She's had three drinks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica, for hooking us up with Bert Kreischer. And if you guys are out there and you're around Netflix, you got a Netflix account, go watch Bert Kreischer's special.
Secret Time.
And you've been lied to.